Father, I thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And I want you, Lord, to continue to pour out your Spirit. Because I know you have been blessing these meetings. And I want to acknowledge that. And I want to thank you. Because we truly would be wasting our time if the Holy Spirit wasn't here. And so, Lord, thank you for yet again condescending in our behalf. And I want you to anoint us from on high again tonight in this presentation. This makes Satan very angry. And I want you to make it clear, crystal clear, and even brief, Lord, so that we can spend time at the end contemplating what we're going to do about this. And so, Father, guide and also guard us tonight. In fact, send Satan and his evil angels off the property and keep us surrounded by heavenly angels so we hear you and see you alone. So bless each one, Lord, and also be with the CHIP program downstairs. Bless them in a special way for what they are doing. And we hope that people came from the community to learn this great health message and see that there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets to His people. So bless and use me now to be a blessing, Lord, in spite of my faults and frailties. I want to be used by you. And thank you, you always hear and answer our prayers because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know that prayer has always been a very strong part of my life. Would you please make sure these folks get an outline? Oh, Pastor, you're back there. I didn't know that. Okay. And it's amazing to me how prayer just keeps developing. It doesn't stay static and things change and they're different. And for me, it all came into view when the Gulf War took place. The Gulf War. You know, Desert Storm? When the first time, I think, in history, we attacked a nation that didn't attack us. Because every day, this was in the new technological age, unlike any other age in any other war, and every day you could turn on your TV set to some channel and see the generals standing before the cameras. I want you to know that in spite of the fact I think my experience is sort of wide, I had no idea that our generals were so articulate, educated, charismatic, intelligent, prim and proper, standing there and verbalizing to us exactly what was going on. And suddenly the Lord reminded me that in the book Great Controversy, Ellen White calls Satan a mighty general. And I went, wait a minute, Lord. If Satan is a mighty general, that means he lays his plans in advance. And the Lord said, of course, yes. And I thought, Lord, if I'm one of your generals as a minister, then I too need to lay my plans in advance. I too need to come up with strategies. I too need to plan ahead so that we can get and make sure that we have divine help every time we do something. Yes. And then what came crystal clear to me or crystallized in my mind is this quote. I'm going to go over it with you right now. And I want you to write down the 7 points. I even numbered them for you from the text themselves. And I want some of you to get very angry now. I want some of you to become very incensed. I want some of you who are elders or deaconesses or deacons or Sabbath school division leaders or parents who are sending your kids to Sabbath school to see what Satan is really doing And what are we as leaders of the church doing about it? So let's read this, fill it out as we go along, and then I will tell you some of the strategies that God has given me that I now incorporated into my church in Las Vegas that we do either every Sabbath or every week or occasionally, that you can have a real church prayer ministry because there's a purpose now for it. Now, if you got straight hair, be very careful here tonight. You're going to get curled. And if you got curly hair, I'm going to straighten it. Actually, I'm not going to do it. But here's what the text says. The Scriptures declare that upon one occasion when the angels of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan came also among them. But listen to this, folks. Not to bow before the eternal King, but A, to further his own malicious designs against the righteous. Please put that down in A. To further his malicious plans, or to further his malicious designs against the righteous. Now wait till you get to B. I want to make sure you write that in. Okay, next sentence. With the same object, B. He is in attendance when men assemble for the worship of God. Did you know that? See, when all this started to crystallize in my mind, I thought, whoa, wait a minute. You mean he's coming to my church every single Sabbath? Every single prayer meeting? Every single vesper? Every single board meeting? And yes, that's exactly what the councils tell us. The Scriptures declare that on one occasion when the angel of the Lord came to present themselves before the Lord. Wait a minute. This isn't an earthly worship service. This was a meeting between God and His angels. Who was present? Satan. And then B tells us, Satan comes every time we go to church. I thought, wait a minute. Okay, now before I go on, let me take a time out and let me share something very personal with you. Because I pray, God puts in my heart a love for my church members as if they were my own kin. Folks, I am an Italian. Italian families stick together. And every time there's a holiday, we come together. Grandma, grandpa, uncles, aunts, cousins. We eat spaghetti, we run around, we get cussed at. And I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, and God puts in my heart a genuine, real love for my church members as if they were my kin. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. I labor over the sermons. I labor over the services. I pray in the back room. And Satan shows up every Sabbath at my church. I thought, whoa. But it goes on. This really set me off. Though hidden from sight, he is working with all diligence. And here it is. This made me mad. To do what? See. To do what? To control the minds of the worshipers. Did you know that Satan is present here every Sabbath and he is coming to take control of your mind? I thought, Lord, what am I going to do about this? I can't let Satan come in here and do this. And I want you to know that I look out at my congregation. the people that I dearly love as if they were kin, and some of them are sound asleep. They have no clue of what's going on. And I thought, what am I going to do about this? But there's more. Let's read on. Like a what? Skillful general, he lays his plans beforehand. Oh man, Lord, I gotta stop flying by the seat of my pants. Literally. See, and all of a sudden conjured up in my mind was Desert Storm, these generals. I thought, I'm not acting like those generals. As he sees the messengers of God searching the Scriptures, he takes note of the subject to be presented to the people. He takes note of the subject to be presented to the people. I thought, wait a minute. He's taking notes on the sermon that I'm preparing for my people on Sabbath. Why is he doing that? Then he employs all his cunning and shrewdness, so F, to now what? Control circumstances that the message may not reach those whom he is deceiving on that very point. All right, it's getting personal now, folks. It's getting personal. Now, let me bring it back a second. I'm going to back up a step or two. Are you a Sabbath school teacher of the little tiny children? Guess who's present in your room? Guess who's present in your room? And what that presence of the evil angel trying to do to the children that you prepared all week to teach the songs and the stories about Jesus and teach them to love Jesus and to kneel down and pray? Evil angels are there. He knows what you studied, and he's there to distract the little children one way or another. What are you doing about it? Elders, what are you doing about it? Aren't we part of God's army? If Satan is a skillful general, he lays plans beforehand. Do we have a strategy? There's more. The one who most needs the warning will be urged into some business transaction which requires his presence, or will by G, some other means, be prevented from hearing the words that might prove to him a savor of life unto life. I thought, that's it. That's it. Some other means. A baby's going to cry at the perfect time. A cell phone is going to go off at a perfect time. One of my church members will be talking during the sermon to the person next to them, and someone behind them or in front of them are distracted right when I make the point. What am I doing about it? I want you to be honest with me. Did you have any idea about this? Well, I know you did. Did you have an idea how serious this was? I thought, Lord, we got to get our act together. I said, everywhere you send me, I'm going to read this. And by the way, in the book Great Controversy, it says there's nothing that Satan fears so much as that we will become aware of his devices. And I thought, that's in Great Controversy. There is nothing, this is an exact quote, that Satan fears so much is that we become acquainted with our devices. And throughout the book, Great Controversy, it says it is this book that reveals his devices. That's why it keeps us out of the Bible. When I present this, Satan gets really angry. We're revealing his devices. He's really angry because we're going to talk about strategies to counteract him. Do you remember the first quote that I put up here on Sunday night that I asked you to meditate? No, I did it for church. Do you remember that quote from Great Controversy? This same page, 518. I don't hear anybody. To hold the people in darkness and impenitence till the Savior's mediation is over and there is no longer a sacrifice for sin is the object he seeks to accomplish. I thought, Lord, I have been blind for 28 years of ministry. To hold my people in darkness, and I sweat, and I lose sleep, and I agonize to lift the darkness from them, and to bring them to repentance. And I never thought how vividly and how actively and how specifically Satan works against my efforts. What am I doing about it? And so I want to introduce a new quote to you tonight, which is right after part two. And I want you to memorize this one. Please remember, work on the other one. To hold the people in darkness and impenitence till the Savior's mediation is over and there's no longer a sacrifice for sin is the object which He seeks to accomplish. Here's the other one. It is part of God's plan to grant us in answer to the prayer of faith that which He would not bestow did we not thus ask. Great Controversy 525. It's part of God's plan. He's expecting His people to pray. And if you've ever wondered why, you now know why. Because we are a church family. We come here to freely and openly worship our God, even though we have issues among us. And meantime, what are we really doing intentionally to keep Satan at bay? Because all he has to do is stimulate our carnal natures. And what do we have? Churches full of dysfunction. What are we doing? It is part of God's plan to grant us in answer to the prayer of faith that which He would not bestow did we not pray to Him and give Him permission to counter Satan's effort. I added a little to the quote. Right? He's waiting for His people to get serious about prayer. He's waiting for the kindergarten teacher to get serious about coming earlier and kneeling down in the room and praying for God's protection. He's waiting for elders who say, you know, I want to go and pray with the kindergarten teacher. You know, I want to go pray with the junior teacher. I'm going to come early to church and I'm going to pray. By the way, some of you elders, some of you Sabbath school teachers have little children. I know how difficult it is to get them out the door, but then find somebody to go in your room and do it. And there should be up front praying before people come. There should be prayer throughout the building. We've got to petition God to send heavenly angels to counter the effect of the fallen divine person. I mean, He used to be divine, right? Not divine like divinity of God, but He was a perfect, powerful being who fell from heaven. We are no match, and we're not praying. You know, parents, are you hearing this? What are you doing about your children? Are you hedging them about every morning and every night before they leave the house and after they come back in? Are you aware that Satan's doing everything he can to separate you and God from those children? It is part of God's plan to grant us and answer the prayer of faith that which He would not bestow did we not thus ask Him. And I want you to know that prayers work. And there's times I don't want to pray. But I'll tell you, when it really motivates is when I pray with other people. Now, not that I don't pray alone. I love my... because I now have a mission, man. I want my church covered. In fact, at this point, I'll tell you the story. Or I don't want to ruin it here, but... I don't think I do. I read this and I thought, I'm going every Sabbath morning early to my church. There's a back room back there. I kneel down and I pray, Lord, counter Satan. And then I thought, why am I doing this by myself? You know, this isn't just warfare by the pastor. This should be church members who have an active interest in this. And I asked some of my elders. Now they come. They join me. I've got an elder now. I no longer go to the church on Sabbath morning. I'll tell you why in a second. There's a reason. I got an elder that drives from the west side of Las Vegas down the interstate to the church at 5:30, prays till 6:30, and goes back home to get his family for church. And the reason I don't do it anymore on Sabbath morning, one day it dawned on me, wait a minute, lays plans beforehand? I know go on Friday mornings and I tell the Lord I'm giving you 24 hours to counteract what Satan's planning to do tomorrow. Instead of waiting to 1 or 2 hours before church, I gave God 24 hours. Now I know, please don't think I'm being sacrilegious, but it just made sense to me. I'm gonna give God time to lay plans too. Because He's the only one that can counteract this. I do not want Him controlling my members' minds. I do not want Him controlling my church service circumstances. And it is part of God's plan to grant us in the answer to the prayer of faith that which He would not bestow did we not thus ask Him. And I know sometimes I hear people who, for one reason or another, they say, Pastor, God knows all this, you don't have to tell Him. And I want you to know He is trying to train us to be disciplined and intelligent. That's why He requires it. Because it's for our benefit. And we learn about lawfulness more fully. That God even is under laws. And so I want you to memorize as part of God's plan to grant us an answer to the prayer of faith, that which He would not bestow did we not thus ask. I better get a move on here. Take a look at this. This is just informational. And I hope it doesn't shake you up. Look at this as it continues. By the way, this is snares of Satan, great controversy. There's nothing that Satan fears so much as we become acquainted with his devices. His devices are the snares. Right? And so we're looking at the snares of Satan. Again, Satan sees one, the Lord's servant's burden because of spiritual darkness that enshrouds the people. There it is. See that? There are people in the church who have a burden because they realize this is true. And perhaps they've been looking for a solution. And notice what it says. Two, their earnest prayers, and remember these three, for divine grace and power to break the spell of what? Indifference, carelessness, and indolence. And here's the part. Then, three, with renewed zeal, he plies his arts. Who is that? Satan. See, he kicks back. You know, and you know what came to this preacher's mind? Lord, if I don't do this praying stuff, he won't kick back. I thought, I don't want Satan kicking back on me. I did. That crossed my mind. And I thought, wait a minute, I can't do this. I can't even think of this. But I thought, okay, this This makes me mad. You try to do something for your people, Satan kicks harder. And number four, he tempts men to indulge appetite or to some other form of self-gratification, thus benumbing the sensibilities so that they fail to hear the very things that they most need to learn. Now please understand, that's your Sabbath school classes. So 1, 2, 3, 4, that's also snares of Satan. And then the next one. No man is safe for a day or an hour without what? Prayer. Am I going too fast? I'm sorry. Especially should we entreat the Lord for wisdom to understand His what? Word. Do you study your Bible without praying? Three, here are revealed the wiles of the tempter and the means by which he may be successfully what? Resisted. Praise the Lord. Satan is an expert in quoting Scripture, placing his own interpretation upon the passages by which he hopes to cause us to stumble. We should study the Bible with humility of heart, never losing sight of our dependence upon God. Four, while we must constantly guard against the devices of Satan, we should pray in faith, what? Continually, lead us not into temptation. There it is. That is why church prayer ministries. I want to talk to the men really quick. Men have the hardest time with prayer. Not necessarily in their closet, but you get in a group prayer. Men don't like that. I've come to the conclusion because it's emotional. A man might even break down during the prayer and cry. I don't want to do that in public. We have a prayer session, the women flock to it. The men, they come, few of them. You know what? God is looking for men to stand up. God is even looking for elders that say, look guys, I need you to pray for me. There's some issues in my life that really aren't right for an elder. I need prayer coverage. Remember, it says, if my people who are called by my name, and you want to say pray, right? That's not what it says. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. The same word, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And Jesus inherited the earth. So this is why we need church prayer ministry. And we need the men to stand up, not because the women's prayers aren't heard, but the women's prayers need to be joined with the men. And besides, the men were called to be the high priest of the family. And by the way, that's why we've got to teach our children lovingly. And I know I'm going to hurt some people here. You do not marry outside the church. You don't. Bible's clear. Don't be unequally yoked. Oh, Pastor Neary, he's a better Christian than most Adventists I know. 2 years later. Oh, I wish I didn't do this. Pastor, I can't come to the meeting. My husband won't let me. Or he gets mad if I'm gone too long. Or he wants to do this today. By the way, it works both ways. I'm a man, so I say it that way. So that's why we have church prayer ministry. Now, how do we do church prayer ministry? Number one. By the way, you see, I did include for you to memorize, to hold the people in darkness and impenitence till the Savior's mediation is ended. Okay, number one, pray during the church service. Now let me tell you what I did. This was God's gift to my mind, and I thanked Him for it. I have a rotating schedule. Every quarter, one group prays. And when I say one group, from the group, like all the adult Sabbath school classes, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 adult Sabbath school classes. That the first Sabbath of every quarter, this adult Sabbath school class puts a group in a room, a group of volunteers, and during the whole church service, they pray. They pray in front of a television set that we stream live our service, but you turn the volume off and you pray as you see the things happening in church. Pray for the offering, pray for the prayer, pray for the scripture reading, pray for the special music, pray during the pastor's sermon, but you don't listen. So when I'm done with that, I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden it hit me. Cradle Roll prays the sixth time. I asked all the teachers, are you willing to do this? I want you to bring the children in, Cradle Roll. And I want you to teach them to pray during the church service. Now, I fudged on the little kids, okay? I let them go after the children's story. But they prayed during the offering. They prayed during... Their parents are in there, and they're practicing showing the children that we have a purpose. Why? He's trying to control the circumstances in the church. He's there. And so they're praying that these circumstances are not taking place, that God countered them and that God would keep peace in the sanctuary. And they got the TV there, and if they see anything, they pray about it. And then I do what? Kindergarten, primary, juniors. I don't have any early teens. They're incorporated with the juniors and the teens and the teens and the young adults and the Spanish class. I think that's 13. Oh, and the greeters, do the greeters one? I think I have greeters. I don't know. 13 groups, and they rotate once a quarter all year long. So we pray during the church service. And if you ever wondered why, I'll tell you why. He's trying to control the minds of the people, and he's trying to control circumstances. And he planned well ahead beforehand, and we're counteracting. We're giving prayer coverage, which allows angels to come and counteract anything or everything Satan's trying to do or would have done. That's number one. Number two, have a day of fasting and prayer. Yeah, fasting. We announced Wednesdays as the day of fasting and prayer in the Paradise Seventh-day Adventist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we invite the entire church to fast. Now, I don't know how many people fast. You know why? I don't ask them. I just provide an opportunity for them to do what the Bible says we should do when we have needs. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning till 7, we have a prayer group at the church for whoever shows up. From 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, whoever shows up. And from 5:30 to 6:30, whoever shows up. And we pray for that hour three times a day on our day of fasting and prayer. And by the way, tomorrow or on Friday, I'm going to show you my mountain prayer spot. When the morning prayer is over, I go up in the mountain that overlooks the entire valley of Las Vegas, and I pray over it. And you're going to find out on Thursday night what has happened because of that prayer on the mountain over the entire valley. And I guarantee you will be impressed with what God will do when you make an effort to pray. And now I go up with an elder, a deacon, and my associate, and usually, there's sometimes another deacon, whoever will climb the mountain with us, and we pray together over the valley. For God to take control of Las Vegas. And then I have prayer meeting from 6:30 to 7:30, and we study something. Why? Because we already prayed for an hour from 5:30 to 6:30. Okay, you got it there, right? Number three. Pray with the people after Sabbath services. Now, this is more pastoral driven, so I'll speak to the pastors, but the church members will catch the vision. I suddenly realized we have people in the congregation that I know would love to have prayer for them. And they might not come to prayer meeting or any of the prayer sessions on Wednesday. You know, they're busy or whatever. And so every once in a while, not too seldom, but fairly often, at the end of my sermon, I say, whoever wants to come forward at this time, we want to pray with you. If you've got something on your heart, after the closing hymn, I want you to come forward and we're going to pray with you. And I said, the elders are up here and they're going to pray with you. And then one day I was standing there and I thought, wait a minute, why am I calling my elders up? And by the way, I got really good elders. I thought, I'm calling the prayer warriors up. I want the ones who pray on Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the morning or in 12 o'clock noon or at 5:30 to come up here and join me, and whoever comes forward will pray for them. And so every once in a while, we have a call in which we invite people to come forward. You would not believe the response. And our people now know, they go, hi, how are you? If they're not a church member, you know, oh, by the way, you know, we get lots of visitors. People from all over the world, even. Yes, I have something I want. What's your name? Where are you from? Okay, what would you like us to pray about? By the way, if it's private, you don't have to tell us. Just say it's private. Okay, and anything else you'd like us to pray? Okay, let's pray. They kneel down. They pray for them. I look up every once in a while. I see people. The other day I saw a lady, tears were coming down, her nose was running because they were holding hands with her. I mean, I felt bad for her, but that's how, and she was not a visitor from out of town. Folks, Adventists need healing. And healing comes during prayer and when we humble ourselves. Doesn't the Bible say in James, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It is time for a Seventh-day Adventist to drop the facade and admit there's not one person, including the pastor, that's perfect in this congregation. Every single one needs prayer. And if you break down and cry during that prayer, bully for you for being open and honest. Jesus cried. Number four, I love this. This is my title. You'll see I'm not good at titles. Skip lunch and pray Sabbath. And when I tell you this story, it's going to be unbelievable. I may need to quit here. I'm not done with this yet, but I may need to quit. But I got to tell you about skip lunch and pray Sabbath. Never done this before. Let me tell you, I told you already, all these years, 20-some, whatever it is, I got to count it again. But I'm getting to the point where I really don't want to count it, okay? How long I've been a minister. I don't want to know. I thought, Lord, we got some real problems we're facing. Okay, so let's skip lunch and pray Sabbath. Ever since I joined this church, I discovered that if the church is ever called to a day of fasting and prayer, what day do they choose? Sabbath. Why do they do that? We're all together. Right? You look at your Bible, the only day of fasting was the Day of Atonement. And even the Sabbath, and all the other feasts on the Sabbath, it was a feast. Right? So I thought, really, this And we're so social, you know. We work all, you know, Adventists work, probably have another sin besides sugar, is overwork. Always busy doing something. And I thought, we love being social and we eat on Sabbath. So I got this, the Lord gave me this idea. We're going to just skip lunch. We're going to skip lunch. You're not going to skip breakfast. You're not going to skip supper unless you choose to do that. But you are, I'm going to ask you to skip lunch. Church service is over. We say amen. Go to the bathroom. You got any little children? Take them downstairs and feed them. Be back here in 15 minutes. And then we start another service in which we sing songs, read scriptures, and have prayers. And then we rotate it. And when we have the prayer time, and by the way, you people really blessed me last night. I said, break up into prayers and pray. And some of you prayed for 10 minutes. And here's why I was impressed. That tells me that you're used to praying. I was very impressed. Everybody broke up, just about. Every single person got a partner. And some of you prayed a long time. I go to some churches, they don't know how to do that. They've never done that. And when we pray for a formal situation, we may have an elder who, after the scripture, which went with the theme for the prayer, and after the song, which went to the theme for the prayer, the elder then prayed a prayer about it, but then we broke the congregation into small groups and told them to stay there. And then we said, now we want the groups to pray. And then we introduced another concept, stay in your group, another concept. When we got done singing, when we got done reading scripture, and often now we'll skip the formal prayer, we'll tell them to pray. We have people out of work like crazy. Who's out of work? They raise their hand. All right, this group over here, take that person. This group over, every group got a person. And instead of praying for unemployment, they prayed for the individuals in our church who stayed by skipping lunch, and they prayed for them. Who here is sick and would like prayer? Pray, this group over here, pray for them. Okay, I'm going to end here, but I got to tell you this story because you're not going to believe it. We have a church school in Las Vegas, Nevada. And the largest church in Nevada, in Las Vegas and in Nevada, is right next to the church school. And for whatever reason that doesn't matter here, they walked out of the constituency at the end of last year. And now the largest church whose member of the constituency is me. And the second church in the constituency has 35 members. I thought, Lord, how am I going to ask my church to take on 6 full-time salaries if all of a sudden the enrollment nosedives from 65? For the last 2 years, 65. And the last 2 years, we ended in the black. May have only been 13,000, but it was the black. And I thought, Lord, I can't do this to my church. Do you know that that could mean the teachers would be told to leave the church in December, the middle of the school year, because we can't afford to pay 6 full-time. And so the other minister, the other pastor of that church named Jerry Wagner, took me aside and says, Peter, we got to do this. I'm the praying person, right? We got to do this. I said, Jerry, do you know what this could do to my church? He said, but God's ordained Christian education. And I thought, he's right. And I thought, everywhere I've been, I've had a church school. I support Christian education. He said, Peter, God will provide. I said, Jerry, you're right. So what am I going to do? So the first target we made on the skip lunch and pray Sabbath was the church school. Now I'm going to cut it short. I'm not going to lead you on any longer. All right? Here it is. Opening enrollment in August was 93. I am paying less subsidy right now for the church school than I did last year when the big church was still in the constituency. 65 was not a fictitious number. 2 years in a row, 65, 65. Our opening enrollment was 93. And of course, you know how church schools go if you have any experience. Our enrollment right now is 93. God did it. You know why He did it? Because we prayed. And we fasted. We just skipped lunch. We went to 4 o'clock that day. And for the men, we then had prayer ministry. I thought, Lord, I really want to eat. You know, because I had preached and I let out in this. I was hungry. If I'm going to fast, I'd rather not do all this stuff. We got to pray, folks. Okay, you got it. 10 days of prayer. We just did this. The first 10 days of prayer, we prayed every night. And here's how we did it. And again, God came up with this. And that is, I picked 10 people in the congregation that lived in 10 different locations in Las Vegas. And I said, would you open your house for 10 days and welcome whoever from our church comes to your location every night from 7 to 8. It can't be any longer than that. Follow my structure so you spend the most time in prayer. Yes, Pastor, I'll do it. 10 locations. And then every morning at 10 o'clock, I did it at the church for two reasons. Number one, there are people that work at night. Las Vegas never shuts down. Secondly, I wanted to go to all 10 locations. So every night I went to another location. And every night at 10 locations, we had people praying. We started the new year with 10 days of prayer. And by the way, if you're wondering where we get the number 10, Jesus left the disciples, and 10 days later, after they prayed according to Acts for 10 days, God could pour out the Holy Spirit, because in that amount of time, they were brought into unity. And by the way, they were only brought into unity because of prayer. Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to sit there. I'm going to take a moment. Sit there. What are you going to do about this? Father, what are you saying to each person here? I want you to make it clear. Father, I want you to help them to begin seeing a place, a location, a way that they can incorporate prayer in a meaningful way to support the needed and necessary reinforcements to counter Satan's activities. Please speak to each one, Lord. And I know perfectly well right now you could be talking to a mother who realizes he or she needs to do more for the children, and the church right now is secondary. I understand that. God understands that. How are you leading these wonderful people, Lord? Okay, Lord, now help them to visualize, how are they going to do this? How are they going to do this? Is there a prayer partner that you can join up with who has similar goals as you do? You know, I know Pastor Holland is going to jump on this one. And he's going to probably begin to innovate. I've seen him in action, Lord. He's going to innovate some prayer activities and help organize and to direct, as our general here, direct activities, Father, so that we can bring them all together and have every base covered. And now, Lord, I want you to convict each person here to play a part in prayer. In fact, Lord, I want you to say right now, I want you to be part of prayer. I want you to step up your prayer activity. I want you to begin to attend opportunities that have already been offered in this church where prayer is being offered. Lord, I know you're talking to some of the Sabbath school teachers. I want you to give them ideas like you do me. It's amazing. I want to shout from the mountaintops. If you think I'm a great minister, you're wrong. God has told me all this stuff. I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have known it. But you shared it with me, Lord. I want you to share it with them. I want you, Lord, to rally the forces to see the need of being part of the prayer to counteract what Satan's doing and protect this family, this beautiful family that you've given this church. And Lord, I am privy to a little bit of agitation here over age groups. And Lord, I know that if anything can resolve this, prayer can do it. How? By praying and seeking you on this very point, you will help both sides to see differently or more clearly so there can be unity and the joining together. And yes, Lord, I thank you for that. I know that the temptation is the compromise principle is one way we can accomplish this, and in prayer we will be assured that that's not a good idea. But how can we be more loving about our standards, Lord? How can we be more loving about our differences? Okay, Lord, you're right. There are some things that I honestly don't have the answer for, but every time I prayed, you've given to me, you'll give them to them. Don't let them be worried, Lord, please. Didn't Ellen White say something, if we're in trouble if we forget how the Lord led us in the past, as if He's not going to lead us in the future? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So now I want the Spirit, Father, to touch each heart and mind, and do not let anybody leave tonight without having made a decision to do something to support the prayer ministries of the church and protect the members of the family, including those that we may not like. Thank you, Lord. Because you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we know you've answered. Now go with us as we part and bring us back tomorrow night as we continue. And thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.